our time and attention is turned to our featured guest this week, an actor with a long, long resume going back a couple of decades. He's been in such great hit films as Schindler's List, The Thing, Midnight Express, a long list of classic TVs, impressive film projects. It's Norbert Weiser. Norbert, how are you this fine, fine evening?
I'm okay. How are you doing
today? Great, great.
Doing good, considering the week we've had. We've seen a week where Donald J. Trump has been sworn into office. We've seen, some people are saying it was a million people at the Women's March on Saturday on the streets. Now, I know you're been in America for many, many, many years, Norbert, but you're originally from Germany. So do you still have a bit of an outsider perspective? Can you still give us your view?
When Trump won the election, I sort of stepped into, I took a step back and looked at the whole thing somewhat as a foreigner.
Okay.
Even though I've lived here for 50 years, you know?
It made a lot of people feel like foreigners.
It looked to me almost sort of like the Wild West. there's an aspect about that I actually like.
Yes.
But it was, you know, I mean, at this point, my anger is in denial, and I'm still bargaining with acceptance, you know?
Which is a perfectly acceptable place to be on the triage ladder as far as how you cope with this. Now, looking at, obviously, a lot of people make comparisons to Trump, who are anti-Trump, to a certain German leader who came to power in the early
30s. Yeah, I heard of the guy.
Yeah, exactly. Now, as an actual German, are you offended by those analogies? Because, you know, no, Hitler was actually the embodiment of all evil conceivable. Or do you feel that as a German, you've got some insights to share with people who say, well, you know, when Hitler first came to power, he was voted in legally. Where do you find yourself on this trope about Trump as Hitler?
Well, I think these comparisons don't really work.
Yeah.
You?
I don't like it.
I mean, Hitler was Hitler, and the history, I don't even know if history repeats itself. It maybe rhymes.
Well, that's a great point.
And Trump is actually transparent, to me at least. He seems like a very insecure man who tries to look like a strong man.
I love how he gets into arguments with Rosie O'Donnell. I like how he will take apart someone who plays him in caricature on Saturday Night Live. Could you imagine?
And then brings it into political debates. I mean, his first statement in the first debate was a reference to Rosie O'Donnell.
Well, exactly. Could you imagine George Herbert Walker Bush in 89, 90, 91 calling out Dana Carvey? for the way he was being impersonated, there was a sense in the past that you were above these things. So all the things that Donald J. Trump can be concerned about this weekend, what does he spend half of the morning today talking about?
The inaugural crowd,
the size of the crowd. We know he got more people all through the campaign. He pointed it out.
Size seems to be sort of a thing that he's obsessed with, isn't he?
It is. Look at that tie. Oh, my God. That tie, that red tie went down to his inseam.
I'm sure he's busy right now classing up the White House, bringing some glitz into that place.
Well, you saw the one change, I don't know if you noticed this, Norbert, from the bits of video they've been showing inside the Oval Office. He changed the drapes.
Ah.
He did.
Sandy, my wife told me they're golden.
They are bright Trump Tower gold.
Way to go.
Of course they are.
Of course. What else couldn't they be? What else couldn't they be? Now, you've done so much. You've done great TV shows, Norbert. You know, some of the ones that many of our friends will know, Breaking Bad, ER, NCIS. You've done some classics.
I got to congratulate. I don't think we've ever had a guest on our show who actually appeared on The Greatest American Hero, which is an old favorite of us on this show.
I'm a big fan of Robert Culp. I will not hear a bad word said about the man. So you've got an amazing TV.
To say nothing of Hunter.
Hunter.
Ooh.
Oh, that was a great show, too.
Yeah.
But you're also a stage actor, and you're doing a play here from a playwright that is near and dear to both Dave and I's hearts. You're doing Samuel Beckett. You're doing Crap's Last tape. Can you tell us what drew you to Beckett and specifically what drew you to this particular play, which is being, I should give the full plug, it's being put on at the Odyssey Theater this month? It starts like in a few days, doesn't it?
We actually just opened on Friday, and it is an evening of Beckett plays, short plays. There's Catastrophe, Footfalls, Come and Go, Act Without Words, Two, and then there's Crab's Tape, which is sort of, you know, the meatiest maybe of the five.
Right.
And it's the second act. The first act is four short plays, and, you know, Crab's Last Tape is essentially a one act as well.
Right.
It's a relatively short play. What drew me to it, I've been sort of bouncing back things back and forth with Ron Sarcey of what to do.
Right.
And Beckett, you know, he'd say no to something, I'd say yes to something, and vice versa. And Crab's Last Tape stuck. And I saw John Hurt do it here in Los Angeles. And I have to say, when I saw it, I didn't quite get it. I do now.
Right.
It's not an easy play to understand. But once you get it, it's quite wonderful.
Hmm.
It's about a man, at least in the way I would see it or explain it, it's about a man who looks back to his past. He at one point in his life said no to love.
Right.
In order to have a career that he never had.
Okay.
And now he is alone, by himself, listening to old tapes.
He's got an audio tape diary that he's kept.
He has a tape diary, yeah. And he makes a new one his birthday, on his birthday.
Right, right, right. Now, a lot of people would say Samuel Beckett, the only thing they know is Waiting for Godot. It's not easy theater. It's very cerebral. Do you kind of have to say, yeah, but, or can you make the argument that there's something very broad-based that people can connect to? Is this a hard evening out or something that people can get excited about?
Well, if it's presented correctly and well, it's an evening people can look forward to,
okay.
But it's not easy diet.
Right,
and you're presenting it correctly.
The big questions. He, you know, asks, why am I here? Who am I? Am I here in the first place? He deals with death and defeat. I mean, it's a dark world. But he also has a really wicked sense of humor.
Right.
That comes through. The laughs that you get from an audience in most Beckett plays are individual laughs. They're laughs of recognition, where somebody all of a sudden goes, oh, man, I know what he's talking.
Right.
And it's just like one or two people laughing. I mean, it's usually not collective laughs that he pulls out of the audience. But it's not lightweight. There are some of the plays, though, I think Come and Go is lovely and very light in a way, like a fluffy piece of bakery. Even
right.
though when you watch the three women the three actresses who are doing it, you sort of wonder, are they really there? Do they really exist? And at this point, I want to actually say, the other actors are Alan Abelou, Diana Signoni, Sheila Cullen, Elizabeth Hogan. And they're all wonderful actors that I have worked with through the years in various different venues and plays.
So now when you saw John Hurt perform Crap's Last Tape, it took you two performances to really get it, you said. But your performance, we're all going to get it first time.
Okay,
one and
done.
Right out of the box.
Right out of the box.
All right.
absolutely.
That's great.
Beckett in a box. Yeah. Boom.
Boom. That's right.
That's awesome.
In
that's
fact,
awesome.
I'm going to ask John to come and see it.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
Oh, great. I'll come. Now, you were a founding member of the Odyssey Theater. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Awesome. How long has it been?
Back in 1970, I started out playing McKeith in Threepenny Opera, and we played it for a year at the Odyssey Theater, which was originally on Hollywood Boulevard, way next to a porno theater, and occasionally you could hear people. I'm not sure. Can I say that?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Did you just beep me?
Our eagle-eyed engineer would have taken care of that.
But that's real urban theater you're describing right there.
Sounds from the movie theater next door.
I want to thank you so much, Norbert Weiser, actor. We've loved you so much in so many things you've done. You're on the stage now at the Odyssey Theater. Crap's last tape, great Samuel Beckett play. I want to thank you so much for being part of the Bigger Picture. Friends and neighbors, our phone lines are still open, 866-870-5752, otherwise known as 866-870-KRLA. We're going to get to as many of your calls as we can in the very next segment. We'll be back to you in just 2 minutes' time.